Hi everyone, this is Mike. We are beginning a new two-part series called On Guard. And today our Bible reading is Luke chapter 12. It's from verse 13 to 21. Have a read through so it's fresh within your heart and mind. Is greed a problem? I mean, I know it exists in our world, but is it a problem? Is it an issue for our world, for our society today? Well, generally speaking, I don't think we like the word greed. Like if I was to call you greedy, you would naturally feel and think that I'm saying something bad about you. As much as we don't like that word greed, I wonder if our society, if our culture, in our heart of hearts that we secretly do enjoy and at times even justify greed. This series that we're doing on guard, what we're doing is looking at two powerful occasions that Jesus uses those words to be on your guard against two particular things. And so what Jesus is saying there by using the word guard, of course, in the New Testament and, of course, in the English, to be on your guard means to be actively protecting, to intentionally be watching out. And, of course, it assumes the necessity that you need to be on guard. You need to be watching out. You need to have protection against particular things. So today, our On Guard by Jesus is about greed. We all know what greed is, and when we talk about greed, we're not just talking about money. We're talking about money, but it's not just about money. Greed goes deeper, doesn't it? It goes to the very heart of what we do with our money. The word in the New Testament, it actually connects into the Old Testament idea of coveting. We don't really use that word covet or coveting anymore, but it connects into the Ten Commandments. Do not covet. Covet means to desire for things that do not belong to you. So in a broad sense, greed is that desire for accumulating stuff, you know, possessions, that is a big part of human nature, especially in our Western world. Greed really blurs the lines, doesn't it, between what someone thinks they need and what someone wants. You know, wants with greed, wants become necessities, become needs. Greed is that desire for more and more and more and more. So, Jesus talks about greed in our Bible reading today, and he tells a parable about a rich fool. Why does Jesus tell this parable about a rich fool? Well, in the opening verses 13, 14, 15, it sets the scene. We have this man who, in verse 13, comes to Jesus and makes a demand, a request. He says, "Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, we don't really know anything else about the financial family situation of this man. All we get is this request. Jesus responds in verse 14. He responds to the request by asking a question. "Friend, who has set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Now, we don't hear the interaction. We don't know if there was more going on. Jesus, in verse 15, turns to the crowd. There's an opportunity to teach the crowd about greed here. Verse 15, Jesus says to the crowd, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." What Jesus is highlighting and emphasizing here is that the abundance of possessions, heaps of stuff, does not make you who you are. And so then from verse 16 to 20, the parable begins. Jesus tells the parable, and it begins by Jesus saying, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." And so this man, seeing the abundance of his land, he thinks to himself, you know, what am I going to do about all this abundance? Well, I will do this. He builds greater storage to contain all the abundance, and of course to store it up for himself so that he could live and survive off of it for his future. And so then he speaks to his soul. The soul, of course, is the very heart and core of who we are as human beings. He speaks to his soul, to the very depths of who he was. And now, based upon his accumulated wealth and possessions, he says to his soul, "Soul," I love that, he actually addresses his own soul, "Soul, you have ample good. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." The reading actually feels like a bit of a script. It's like, you know, the man says to Jesus, Jesus says to the man, then Jesus talks to the crowd, and then in the parable, it's the man thinking to himself, speaking to himself. Well, now it's God's turn to speak. And to this man's storing up of abundance, he says, "You fool, you're dead. Now what's going to happen to you, your possessions?" The man dies, and all of his storing up, all of his abundance now has been accumulated that he no longer can enjoy and live by. Verse 21, Jesus wraps up and he speaks to the crowd and he says, "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves and are not rich toward God." This story is the ultimate "you can't take it with you" story. And what does Jesus mean here when he talks about being rich toward God? Four questions as we think about this Bible reading and this parable for us. Four really important questions. The first one is, why does God give abundantly? This is an important question because the man had an answer for this. He had thought about this, and he had thought the reason for his abundance was for himself, for his own survival, for his own life, for his own future. Why does God give abundantly? It's a really important question. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the opening chapters of the Bible. There we are met with a God of abundance. In Eden, the Garden of Eden, the place of abundance, God gave abundantly and graciously for the sake of humans to flourish, to live, to be fruitful, to multiply. God didn't give abundantly just for Adam and Eve to store it all up and to hoard it all to themselves. It was not theirs to own and possess. And so why couldn't Adam and Eve just sort of take all that God had given and all the abundance and store it up and hoard it for themselves? Well, it was because Adam and Eve, made in the image of God, they were to mirror and reflect and represent God, God's gracious giving for life. The second question that's really important, the man here is called a fool, and this parable, it's actually entitled by folk to be a parable about the rich fool. So this man was a fool, but what would have been wise? What's helpful for us to think about? We've seen the story emphasize his foolishness, but what would have been wise? You know, we know how the story ends, you know, so it would have been wise even if this man didn't die that day, to give generously to those who were in need, to those without abundance, so that life could be flourished. God graciously gives, not for us to hoard up, but to be generous ourselves with what God has given abundantly. So that would have been wise. I also think to think and say something wise to himself. What would have been something wise that this man could have said to him, to his own soul, to himself, instead of, you know, building bigger storage facilities? I think something wise that this man could have said and thought to himself was that God has graciously given who might need this, who might also need what God has generously given me, so that God would be glorified. Thirdly, what do we say and think to justify greed? What do we say and think, you know, when no one else can hear? What this reading, what this parable really focuses in and highlights and hones in on is what this man said to himself. He speaks to his own soul. You know, he's going to the corpse, the core of who he is. He says to his own heart, you know, what he's going to do with abundance. What do we say? What do we think to ourselves when it comes to justifying greed? Jesus gets at the very true motivations, the desires, even the idols of the heart. What do we do? What do we say? What do we think to ourselves when we justify all different kinds of greed? Fourth question, how do we be on guard against all kinds of greed? Jesus is teaching here about to be on guard against all kinds of greed. Well, how is it? How are we to be on guard against all kinds of greed? For the Christian, for the follower, for a disciple, for a follower of Christ, the gospel is our foundational guard against greed. Because God has given abundantly in Jesus Christ. Our trust, our heart, our identity are in him, are in Jesus. The gospel is the basis of what we think, what we are to think to ourselves, and what we are to say to our soul. Our desire, which is common in our human nature, our desire for more and more and more, is met by the abundance of God's grace in the gospel. And so here is a bit of a warning for us. As followers of Christ, accumulating possessions more and more and more can distract us from the riches of the gospel. Because in the gospel, we are given all of Christ. And this is what it means to be rich in God. This is how Jesus lived his life. He was rich in God. Because it says in the scriptures, our poverty meaning our unrighteousness, our fallenness, our sinfulness, is exchanged for Christ's riches, his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 8 to 9. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. One of the really beautiful and profound and unique things I have observed in church and in Christianity in general, is when the gospel captures people's hearts, It is quite a beautiful and profound thing to experience and see. I'm not saying that greed doesn't exist in the church and Christianity, but how powerful it is when the gospel has captured people's hearts and the generosity and the beauty of God's grace. I've seen and experienced firsthand people whose hearts have not been captured by greed and the desire for more and more and more, like our wider culture is. Just this week, I was reminded of this once again. I had been staying at a retreat place up on Nelson Bay, a beautiful part of the world. But what it was, the retreat place, was an old church building. And it's a beautiful old structure, but, you know, being up in Nelson Bay, a beautiful part of the world, it's surrounded, of course, by big high-rise apartments and rentals and Mac mansions and everything like this. But the husband and wife who own this church, old church building that they've turned into a retreat place, they were very successful in business, and they bought this old church building that was up for sale, and instead of knocking it down, tearing it down, and the building, you know, obviously, you know, a giant complex, you know, they would have been able to make a whole stack of money. instead, they have refurbished it, kept a lot of it as it is, but they use it for ministry, for the kingdom of God, for eternal things, and not just material wealth and the accumulation of money and wealth and possessions. And so quite cheaply, they utilize it, rent it out for Christian ministries and ministers and Christians. They do retreats and they do marriage seminars. They invest in people's lives. Instead of making more money, they invest in kingdom things, eternal things, things that will last. And even though they would financially lose out in this venture, this is where the gospel has taken their heart. At the end of their days, at the end of their lives, they have been investing in things that will last, in kingdom things, eternal things, because they know, like this parable teaches, that all of the possessions, all of their wealth, they can't take it with them. The foundation of the Christian life is not in wealth and possessions and the desire for more. And I think that's the really powerful, deceptive thing about greed. It sort of secretly tells us what we really need as the foundation, as the very basis of life and the good life, to have a successful life. Well, the foundation of the Christian life is not wealth and possessions and the desire for more and more and more and more, because they don't last. They fade. We can't take all of this stuff with us when we die. But the gospel, of course, does last. It doesn't fade. And I think the big irony, the hard part, or the common thing about our Western lives, our Australian culture, is that sometimes we live as if all of our stuff, all of our material possessions, and we live as if they do. We live as if they do last and last forever. And so what is much of a problem for us today was just as real in Jesus' day as well. And so Jesus tells us, as well as all, be on guard against greed. And the reason we are to be on guard against greed is because it's a false hope. It's a false foundation for life. And ultimately, it's a false gospel. Greed can really sneakily and dangerously refocus our heart away from what God has so abundantly given in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is our guard against greed, because God does not say, when you have enough, you'll be like God. When you finally have more than everyone else, then I will respect you. Then I will love you. What God says, God speaks and says, I have given you my all in Jesus, and you are rich in him. Bless you all.